Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome to another week here on Thinking It Through. We begin this week with the sequel to last week's series, Facing the Furnace. In this series, Dr. Gregory Nation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, will be answering your questions on the book of Revelation by the fireside. Now here's Dr. Nation in part one of Understanding the Times.
Hi folks, welcome to our fireside chat. I have with me Larice and Vaughan, and we are going to share what it means to understand the times in which we are living, how to deal with it, and how to cope with it. And as part of this study of ours, we'll be looking at the book of Revelation. Welcome to you folks.
Thanks, Pastor Greg, for having us.
It's good to be here.
Well, as you know, the book of Revelation is probably the easiest book in the Bible to understand. You give it to the children and they just thoroughly enjoy it. It's a tasty morsel to chew on. After all, it's called Revelation, meaning to make it very clear, absolutely clear.
Yes, well, if the Bible says we need to become like children, then I'm very much like a child when it comes to the book of Revelation, Pastor Greg.
That means you understand it perfectly. That's great. That's great.
Pastor Greg, do you believe that we are living in the times that are described by the book of Revelations?
Indeed. In fact, we are living in Bible times, and it's God's time. So if you understand the book of Revelation, you know it covers the whole Christian era from the founding of the church with the coming of the Lord Jesus right up until his second coming. So indeed, we will be living, and we have been living for the last 2,000 years in the time of the book of Revelation.
That's what I was going to ask, Pastor Greg, because one of the biggest things for me, before you even start scratching the surface, one of the biggest debates that I often have with people is, when did the end times actually start? It's one of those weird questions that Christians try to dodge because there's almost like two camps.
Yeah.
So according to our study here with Revelation, we are living in the end times since Christ's days.
Since Christ's days, yes.
Correct.
And that's confirmed by the prophecy that was recorded in Joel chapter 2, where the Lord said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we know that that happened on the day of Pentecost. So the day of Pentecost actually ushered in the beginning of the last days. Now, obviously, even such a time period would finally run out, and then you would have the last of the last days. And who knows, there are telltale signs that we seem to be really entering into the last of the last days.
Pastor Greg, the book of Revelation gives us a number of an amount of people that will eventually be saved. Is there only a limited amount of people that the book of Revelation claims will be saved in the end?
Well, there are two different angles to look at it, because indeed, we know that the whole world will not be saved, even though the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Unfortunately, our experience has been that not everybody is willing to receive this free gift that God has given, because repentance is required, and not everybody wants to repent. So, yeah, there would be a limited number of people that would be saved, all those who have received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But I suspect you're probably referring to that number, 144,000. And you know, at one stage, there was a certain group that believed that their institution would be the 144,000, and the world would come to an end in 1944. Now, unfortunately, that time came, and even before that, there were more than 144,000 members in that particular institution. And that was a dilemma to them, because what to do now? Then they had to come up with an ad hoc understanding of what the 144,000 meant. And this was because of a wrong understanding of the kind of literature that Revelation is, how it was constructed, because really it's not just a letter that's written, it's actually a whole drama that's been constructed, and what the significance of numbers are in this book. You will see that numbers play a very important role. You have the 1,000 years of peace. You have 7 angels with 7 trumpets, 7 angels with 7 bowls, 7 thunders that spoke, a dragon with 7 heads, and so we can go on. The numbers play a very significant role. You've got the 24 elders before God's throne. You have those 3 creatures that appear, the dragon and the beast of the earth and the one coming from the sea. So one would suspect then that a number like 144,000 would be a number that conveys a certain message. Now, the book of Revelation is developed around 7 scenes. So the number 7 is a very prominent number. I know there are some Christians who think of the number 7 as the number for completeness or fullness or totality or wholeness. But actually, number 10 in Jewish culture and Jewish perspectives would be the number for fullness, because you have 5 fingers on one hand, 5 fingers on the other hand, no more. So the complete number is 10. That's why when you count, you start all over again. Once you get to 10, you go back to 1. So it's 11, 12, 13, 14. It's 1 added to 10, 2 added to 10. So the number 10 is actually the number for fullness. The number 7 is the covenant number. The number 144,000 is actually a composite number. It's not one single number. It's 144 and then 1,000. 144 is 12 times 12, so you have 2 12s in there. And then 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10, so you have 3 10s. We can assume that the number 3 would refer to God. The number 10, we've already said, is the number for fullness. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, 3 tens, the fullness of God the Father, the fullness of God the Son, the fullness of God the Holy Spirit, and the product of their working in this world, because it's 10 times 10 times 10, would be 1,000. But that would be the triune God working in the Old Testament, and the 12 tribes of Israel were representative of the Old Testament leadership. And then you have the 12 apostles in the New Testament. So you see it's 12 times 12 times 10 times 10 times 10. It's the product of the busyness, the work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that amounts to 144,000. So what does that number mean? It means it's the product of the triune God working in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the fruit that it delivers, what it serves up. That's why it's 144,000 who would be saved.
So, Pastor Greg, just listening to what you've just said there, my mind is already just being blown already, because that's a complete revelation to me with the 144,000, because that to me has been a hot topic all the time as well. Yes. But to have it explained like that, is it clarifies a lot. But it also, I'm starting to think now, how literally do we take Revelation? You know, it's symbolic. Is there anything to do with history in Revelation, or is it all to do with symbolism and trying to sort of say things in a way that's more figurative than literal?
Yeah. Well, it's literal in the sense that there are principles that are highlighted. The whole book is about principles. So those principles must be taken literally. They are binding. They are foundational. You can't bypass them. You can't throw them away. So they must be taken literally. I think the key is going to be discovering those principles. Now, this book is actually a drama. So the question is, how literally can you take a drama? You can only take a drama literally in terms of what it actually portrays and what its message is. Any artisan that puts up a highly developed drama on stage has got a purpose. He's got a message. There's a reason why he's doing it. There's even a reason why he selects the decor that he selects and has the actors on stage, the way they're acting on stage. It's for one primary purpose. So that at the end, when it's all over and the curtain closes, you get the message very clearly. This is what it actually stands for, and this is what it says.
Pastor Greg, what is the relationship between the book of Revelations and the book of Daniel?
Well, it's interesting that the book of Daniel is also apocalyptic literature. Now, we haven't mentioned that yet, but the genre, the style of writing that Revelation is written in is called apocalyptic literature. Now, apocalyptic literature is a special kind of literature that surfaces when the faith community is under stress and duress, especially when persecution has broken out and they've had to pay with their lives already for their faith. So when you have a hostile environment and the social systems that are in place are antagonistic towards the Word of God and, for example, the Christian faith, then God raises up people like John, writers with special gifts and perception, who will then compose a literature for a single purpose, a twofold single purpose. And that is, firstly, to encourage the church, to show that God is still on the throne, that he's still reigning, it hadn't got out of control, he's still in charge. But secondly, to explain what's going on. So on the one hand, it's to comfort the believers, to assure them that God is still on the throne. You get a good picture of that in chapter 4, for example, where John says, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and then he saw a throne and someone sitting on it. Now, you hear that just at that time when you think, well, have we made a mistake? Look at the pagans and the heathen. They seem to prosper and they got peace. We are suffering. We're being fed to lions. We're being thrown into a fiery furnace. We are treated as zero-class citizens. But the pagans and the heathen who worship lots of gods, they are actually prospering. So there are these issues, the existential issues that believers would be struggling with. Have we made the right choice? Are we serving the true God? Even John the Baptist, when he landed up in prison, he sent his disciples to go and ask the Lord Jesus, are you the one who is supposed to come, or are we supposed to expect something else? He's the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So in that hour of crisis, doubt can set in. You're in prison now. And in fact, you'll be headed shortly after that. Mm. Are you truly the way? So in that sense, Daniel and Revelation are on the same level. Daniel is for the Old Testament what Revelation is for the New Testament. It's apocalyptic literature, so it's literature that surfaced when believers were facing a hostile environment in the secular state. At that time, it was a feudal system. You had kings who were in charge. Now, in John's day, you also had a dictatorship. And probably before the Lord Jesus comes, you'll have another form of dictatorship called democracy. And that is the social system that will be very much antagonistic towards the faith. I don't know if that maybe explains it well enough.
Definitely. That was Dr. Greg Dignation in part one of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through at any time, go to our Play Store or iTunes Store and search for GNCR 93.6. Install it. That is the app. Go to the podcast section, open Thinking It Through, and send us any questions you have about the book of Revelation to the email address that will be given at the end of this program. Join us again tomorrow for part two.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.